Surprising news from yesterday as 38-year-old Keegan Bradley was named captain of the U.S. Ryder Cup team for 2025, was left off the squad in 2023, but will now be at the helm as the United States looks to win on home soil at Bethpage. Black Golf Today starts now.
Golf Today.
Golf Today on a Tuesday. Damon Hack alongside Eamon Lynch, Golf Week Magazine, 38-year-old Keegan Bradley. New England born and raised, St. John's educated just down the road from Bethpage. Black is the new United States Ryder Cup captain. There are outside-the-box picks. Eamon Lynch, this is as outside-the-box as you can get.
This is the most intriguing decision I think we've seen in the Ryder Cup, probably in at least a decade since the Tom Watson retread back in 2014. And I'm just fascinated to know two things, which is the decision-making process behind Keegan Bradley's appointment and I suppose what the consequences down the road of that will be. And we will have to wait probably all the way to Bethpage to find out what the consequences are. But hopefully today in the upcoming press conference, we're about to get some explanation of the rationale that went into the decision.
Yeah, fascinating choice in many ways because Keegan Bradley is still very much an active player. Won a year ago on the PGA Tour at the Travelers, not far from where he grew up. And his Ryder Cup roots run deep as well. 2012 at Medina, made his debut outside of Chicago, won his first three matches, finished with a 3-1-0 record, losing a tight Sunday singles match to a late arriving Rory McIlroy. Also competed at Glen Eagles 2 years later, owns a career Ryder Cup record of 4-3, 0-2 in singles, Eamon, but his passion has never been questioned.
Yeah, it's hard to think of anyone in this generation of players who gets more animated by a Ryder Cup than Keegan Bradley. And, you know, we've seen patriotic, passionate leaders where it has worked in the past. You know, you've got guys like, say, Seve Ballesteros, for one. Doesn't always represent a recipe for success. I mean, Lanny Watkins, Hal Sutton, guys like that. But he certainly brings a passion that not many other people can claim.
But what will he bring as captain? Let's find out. We send it out to Julius Mason with the PGA of America.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you so very much for joining us today for the 2025 United States Ryder Cup captain announcement. The 45th edition of one of the world's most unique and special competitions will take place at Bethpage State Park in approximately 13 months. And today we are pleased to officially welcome the person who will lead the 2025 United States Ryder Cup team. And for that, I'd like to say good morning to the director of golf at the Country Club of Lansing in Michigan, the president of the PGA of America, Mr. John Linder.
Thank you, Julius, and good morning to everybody. It's great being here in New York. You know, since 1927, we've hosted this event at some very historic sites, Rome, Paris, Chicago, Boston. 2025, we're coming here to New York City and Bethpage Black, and it is trending to be one of the most spectacular events in the history of the PGA of America, and I am really looking forward to being here next September.
John, thank you very much. Speaking of Bethpage Black, it's time to say hello to our 2025 United States Ryder Cup captain.
It is. So for over 100 years, the role of the Ryder Cup captain is one of the most prestigious titles in our sport. I'm here to announce our Ryder Cup captain on behalf of the over 30,000 PGA professionals across the country. Let me go through a little bit of his history. So he has had 8 career worldwide victories, including the 2011 PGA Championship at Atlanta Athletic Club. He played on the 2012 and 2014 Ryder Cup teams, has a 4-3 record. He's currently ranked 19 in the world. He is the son of PGA of America professional Mark Bradley, who is the teaching professional at Jackson Hole Golf and Tennis Club in Wyoming. He's also a standout star from St. John's University. And he was coached by Frank Darby, who is also a PGA of America member. So now it's my honor and my pleasure to announce the 2025 PGA Ryder Cup captain, Keegan Bradley.
Congratulations, Keegan, on being named the 31st United States Ryder Cup captain. You've been sitting on this news for a couple of weeks now. Can you share with us today, right now, your emotions officially of getting this information?
Well, I'm incredibly humbled and honored to be the Ryder Cup captain for Team USA. You know, being on a Ryder Cup team changes your life forever. And being in the room with those guys and feeling the extreme pressure of this tournament will change you. And, you know, the dream of being a Ryder Cup captain is something that a lot of us don't even think about because it's such a prestigious honor. And I never knew if I'd get this opportunity. I always felt like this is something that I would love to do and be able to handle. And I'm so honored to be able to be the leader of this team. And I'm going to Bethpage to win the Ryder Cup back for America.
So, Keegan, take us a little inside here. Tell us where you were when you got the call and who you got the call from.
So I had just finished 3 weeks on the road. I drove home from Hartford with a 3 and a 6-year-old, a 3-hour drive. So we were back home. We finally got them down to bed, and I sat in my chair, and I finally had some time to relax. I had three weeks off. And the phone rang, and it was Seth Waugh, and I answered it. And he had some pretty incredible news that I had no clue was coming. And Zach Johnson is the one who told me that I was going to be the Ryder Cup captain in 2025. And I think it just speaks to what kind of man and person Zach Johnson is. I have just such respect for him. He was one of my idols that I looked up to when I first came out on the tour. And I feel terrible for what he's had to go through. And I'm so honored that he was the one who called me. And I'm going to represent this decision to the best of my abilities, and I'm really excited.
Let's go back to 2012 at Medina Country Club, just outside of Chicago, for your very, very first Ryder Cup. You partnered with Phil Mickelson, and you won your first three matches out of the blocks. Tell us what you remember about that journey.
To be honest with you, what I remember most is the fun that we had on the course, and just the getting on the first tee and sort of just being giddy to go play and knowing we were going to win. I remember the camaraderie of the team. I remember going to our first Ryder Cup dinner at the Tour Championship and having just the 12 guys and looking around the table and seeing Tiger Woods and Jim Furyk and Phil Mickelson and being in complete awe that I was in this room. And 2 or 3 years earlier, I was playing the mini tours, and now all of a sudden I'm representing the United States in the Ryder Cup. And I remember thinking to myself, you can never miss any more of these ever again. You hear so much about the Ryder Cup, and then when you experience it, it's so much more. And I just loved every second of it. I loved being in the team room. I loved riding to the course with the guys. I loved winning our matches and going out and cheering. I loved every second of it.
Very good. So through the lens of Netflix, the world sort of saw your disappointment when you weren't selected as a captain's pick for the 2023 United States Ryder Cup team. Yet moments later, you and your family are sitting in the comfort of your living room cheering on Team USA. Help us understand that moment and who you are as an individual and the makeup of who you are.
So that moment was real. I was crushed. It took us a while to get over that. Our whole family, we were devastated. But I'm American. I root for the Americans to win the Ryder Cup. I watch whether I'm playing or whether I'm not. I know all the guys on the team, and I bleed red, white, and blue. And I was thrilled to be able to watch these guys, and I was pulling for them. And it was a weird feeling knowing that I could have been there and maybe helped the team, but I know what a tough decision Zach had. Picking the guys that he picked were great choices. I would have done the same. I have nothing but respect for all those guys and what they do on the course and off the course. And now sitting here as the captain, I kind of have a different perspective of what he was going through. Because I've only been the captain for 2 weeks, and I'm finding myself staring at the ceiling at 2 a.m. thinking about every single situation. So I have a different perspective now, and I have nothing but admiration and respect for Zach Johnson.
John mentioned that your dad, Mark, is here. And you actually fell in love with the Ryder Cup at age 13 when dad took you over to the country club in Brookline, right? Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so that moment changed my life forever. We went on Friday and Sunday, and I couldn't believe that I was at a golf tournament that felt like this. It felt like going to a Patriot game or a sporting event that was loud and raucous. And fast forward to Sunday, I was on my dad's shoulders on the 18th green, and I could see through to the Justin Leonard putt. I couldn't exactly see it, but I saw him putt. I heard this big roar, and I saw all the red shirts run after him. And everyone in the crowd was trying to figure out what happened. And then, again, fast forward to the U.S. winning the Ryder Cup, the fans all ran out on the 18th green. And I was 13 years old. I wanted to run out on the green. And so I said to my dad, how do I, we didn't have no cell phones then. And I said, I really want to run out there. And he goes, all right, I'm going to stand by this crooked tree here. And you run out there and I'll meet you right here. And I think now for my son, I would say, you're not running out there. and I remember running out. I remember seeing David Duval. I remember seeing my heroes. And I'm looking at these guys like, they're giants, they're superheroes. And it was a moment that literally changed my life forever. I cherished being there. The energy of the tournament and the passion of watching the guys play and seeing Michael Jordan walk the fairways there. It just was a moment in my golfing life that altered everything.
You played golf at St. John's University. There's a rumor that you would skip classes to go over with your teammates to Bethpage to play. True or false?
Well, my mom's here. You shouldn't be telling her that. We were lucky enough by the way, my entire St. John's golf team is here, which means a lot to me. We would get to play Bethpage Black on Mondays when it was closed. I've promised Coach Darby and Craig Curry, who's the superintendent, I'd stop telling the story, but why not tell it one more time for the cameras? So we would play the inside loop. So we'd park at the maintenance area, and we'd play three through 14, and we were told explicitly to never cross the road. And so my senior year, I was playing with George, who's here, George Zelotis, and we were just like, we're going over, screw it. So we imagine you're in college and you're looking at 15 through 18 of Bethpage Black and you can't play it. It was brutal. So we did it and we got in so much trouble. They called the police and Coach Darby wasn't happy, but we did it. And it was a great memory of the place.
Very nice. Finally, before we go to Q&A, I'd like to call your attention to something that you posted a very long time ago. It reads, this is my suitcase from the 2012 Ryder Cup that I haven't opened since that Sunday. I promised myself I wouldn't open it until I won a Ryder Cup. That week changed my perspective on golf forever. The Ryder Cup suddenly became very important to me. What moved you to do that, make that post, and where did the whole idea come from?
Well, the 2012 Ryder Cup is such a strange feeling for me because for every day but the last day was my fondest memories on a golf course. And Sunday was the worst day on the golf course and one of the worst days of my life. And I got home and I kept staring at the suitcase and I couldn't open it because I was so sad. And the stuff inside the suitcase was just going to make it worse. So I put it off, and then I kept looking at it, and it was just the memories inside there were so extreme on both sides that I decided I'm going to wait. I'm not going to open this up until I've won a Ryder Cup. And fast forward a decade, it's still in my house, and hopefully someday I'll get to open it.
That was 13 years ago. You have any idea what's inside that bag?
I have some idea. There's a lot of cool stuff in there. I hope to open it someday. The Ryder Cup is so important to the game of golf, but also to us players, especially if you've played in it and you realize the importance of what goes on that week. It changes your perspective on what's important in the game, and it changes the way you are as a player, because you need to be in those rooms after you play in one. And losing Ryder Cups is really, really tough. And, you know, I had this thought in my head that I was going to play in Ryder Cups my whole career. And, you know, so, you know, my message to the guys is always, make sure you treat this like it could be your last one. Treat this match, treat this point as if this is your last point, because it's that important. You never know when your next shot is going to be to be in this room, try to win this trophy, and, you know, the magnitude of it is heavy.
Very good. Thank you, Keegan. Ladies and gentlemen, we will open the floor and our Zoom calls for questions right now. If you have a question in the room here, raise your hand. We'll try to get you a wireless mic so everybody on the Zoom calls can hear your questions. And we'll go. Right now, we'll get a microphone, if we can, over to Alan.
Hey, Keegan. Congrats on the appointment, first of all. There's no question about your passion about this event, what it means to you. You've spoken a lot about that in the past. We heard some remarks along those lines just now. I think anybody who might be skeptical of this decision is going to point to your lack of experience, having played not only two Ryder Cups, no captaincies. What would you say to somebody who's sort of raising their eyebrows and wondering whether you're best suited for this job?
I would say I'm going to take a fresh look at my vice captains. They're going to be a lot younger, closer to playing. I think that I'm going to be out there with the guys. I'm going to be playing in the same tournaments they're going to be playing in. I'm going to be playing in majors with them. I'm going to be playing in week to week. I'll be alongside these guys in the locker room, practice rounds, dinner, as opposed to in the past with Ryder Cup, they got to fly in. You know, they got to schedule all these things. And I'm going to have a year of being with the guys as a peer. And, you know, one thing that is important to me is I want to play on the team. I feel as though I'm still in the prime of my career and can make this team. So it's a great honor that my peers chose me to do this. And, you know, I don't have the experience that a lot of the other captains had, but I know these guys really well. I'm connected to these guys, and I see them week to week.
Follow up, Alan?
Just to follow on, you know, we're a while away from having to make decisions on captains' picks. Obviously, a lot's going to happen between now and then, including your own form, your own game. But, if it gets to a point where, you know, you're on the fence as you were last year, maybe you could take us through how you're going to work through that decision process, and also whether what happened last year, is that going to color or inform your opinion at all about whether you'll give yourself a shot next year?
No, I will either make the team on points. I don't see myself picking. I'm not going to pick myself. The only way that would happen is if the team was insisting on it. But even if they did, I don't see that happening. I want to make the team on points. Otherwise, I want to be the captain.
Thank you. We'll go over here. Gab?
Hi, Keegan. Tiger Woods was the heavy favorite to receive this captaincy. Knowing that, what was your reaction to that call from Zach? And have you spoken to Tiger?
I don't think I'll ever be more surprised with anything in my entire life. I had no idea. And it took a while for it to sink in. I wasn't fully comfortable with some of the people that were passed over. I have a lot of respect for the people that came before me and people that deserve to be in this position. So that was a heavy thought and moment. I've spoken to Tiger a bunch. I spoke to him this morning on the phone. He's been very helpful. Tiger has always been really helpful to me. And, you know, he's a great voice to hear. And he's been nothing but, he's been reaching out to me, helping me, which has been amazing.
You mentioned some of the people who were passed over. Do you think your selection as Ryder Cup captain marks kind of a shift in the United States Ryder Cup leadership strategy?
I mean, I do. I don't think that this is something that where the U.S. team needs to, like, totally reinvent the wheel here. I think that sometimes you go to tournaments and you don't play well. I think that the guys would say that's what happened in Rome. I want to, all I am looking to do is put these guys in the best position to play their best. And I think one of the things that is interesting would be to have some of the vice captains that are still close to the PGA Tour and play and know the guys. I think that would be super helpful. And again, I'm the captain doesn't play. So, I mean, I got to do my best to put these guys in the best spot that they can to play their best.
Speaking of Tiger, we have a statement from Tiger that we're very happy to share with you right now. He says, with my new responsibilities to the tour and time commitments involved, I felt I would not be able to commit the time to Team USA and the players required as a captain. That does not mean I wouldn't want to captain a team in the future. If, when I feel it is the right time, I will put my hat in the ring for this committee to decide. Seeing no other question up, we got one other question over here.
Keegan, given your experience with the Ryder Cup and the way that you followed it, outside of talent and skill, what do you think are some of the intangible qualities that make for a great Ryder Cup team member?
So I think the biggest thing is that week all coming together as a team. It's very difficult. Us golfers are individuals, and we celebrate wins by ourselves, losses by ourselves. And, you know, that week is about coming together as a team, doing what's best for the team, whether that's, you know, partnering up with somebody, a veteran to a younger guy. That's what happened to me, you know, with Phil, and that helped me with not only the Ryder Cup, but the rest of my career. And I think that the guys, you know, need to be willing to put the team first. And sometimes that's difficult, and I think that this group of guys has does a great job of that. They're one of the things that I love about this group, and I'm not ashamed to say that as an older player that's been out there longer, I look up to these guys. They genuinely love each other, and they're friends. And when I came out on tour, I had a much different outlook. I looked at everybody as the enemy, and I made everybody out to be against me, and I really regret that. I love this generation of how they've gone about their careers and how their friendships, and it makes the life on tour a lot better. And that's what I admire most about this group, and I think that's what will make them great teammates.
Also, related to your familiarity with the course, do you think that Bethpage Black lends itself to selecting people who have a certain group of strengths in their game?
I do. I think that Bethpage, also the fans, are going to be our 13th team member. And I think that, you know, I've always been under the impression that Bethpage is New York's home course. Wingfoot and Shinnecock are amazing courses, but you talk to a real New Yorker, they brag about Bethpage. And I've always, you know, in my mind, I've always thought of Bethpage as New York's home course, which is now America's home course. And I want the fans to treat it that way. They need to defend this course in the right, appropriate way. But this is where the fans and the New Yorkers need to come out and support this team. And the guys on the team that, you know, are out there, like what you were talking about, they're going to embrace that. And they're going to, these New York fans are going to be pulling for us hard. And I love that.
We're going to take a step away from NASDAQ real quick, ladies and gentlemen, and go to some Zoom calls. First up, Alex Maselli. Alex, do you have a question for the captain?
Yeah. Oh, God. Keegan, thank you. Congratulations. A couple things. One, obviously, what happened on Netflix has to influence anybody who was watching it and had some, you know, thoughts about you and how you will be a captain. In Rome, Netflix wasn't part of the process in regards to the team room. My question would be for you in this case, would you want Netflix in the team room?
So I had an unbelievable experience with Netflix. They were great to me. It was a big decision to put my family on TV. That's not a decision that's for everybody. And, you know, I've only been captain for 2 weeks. I have not broached this subject. I have not even thought about it. I don't know who's going to be on the team, but it's definitely a decision that's going to be based on what's best for the team. And it's not something that is for everybody. it's a nerve-wracking process to go through being filmed all the time, and that's something that I'll have to cross later on.
The other thing is the selection process is usually something that's put together with yourself and I'm assuming individuals at PGA of America, points, how many points there are, where they get points, so forth and so on. How much are you going to take a look at the system that's in place currently and look at potentially changing that, if at all?
I think the point system is good. I think maybe look into adding a few more automatic spots. We've just started to look into that. I think, you know, the majors being most important, most points, I think that they've got this pretty figured out by now. And, you know, we just want the tournaments with the best fields and the biggest events to have more weight, because when you get in the under the gun in this tournament, it's pretty intense. So you need guys that are going to be ready for that.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you.
Up next, Dan Rappaport, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. Go ahead.
Okay. You know, you said that it was a very emotional decision and process for you to be on Netflix last year and with the way everything went down. Do you feel in a way like maybe that helped you get this job?
I in my heart, I would think that it didn't, because, you know, this is such a huge decision. And I don't think it would be ever based on how someone was portrayed on TV. I think that, you know, the Ryder Cup committee has a very serious job, especially with the event being at Bethpage in New York, in America, to make a decision that's best for the team. I couldn't imagine that they would decide based on how Netflix portrayed me in filming. But with the Ryder Cup's decision, I was very grateful, and I would be very surprised if any of that went into that decision.
Yeah, and then just a quick follow-up here. We were all so surprised when we first heard your name for this. What was the first conversation you had with someone about even the possibility, and what was your reaction when they reached out?
I didn't have one conversation with anybody about this until I was told I was the captain. I got a call from Seth and John and Zach, and I had trouble. When they called me, I felt funny after the call because I don't think I reacted in the way that they were expecting me to. I was in complete shock. And it was heavy. Like I said earlier, I was a little bit uncomfortable with some of the guys of my, you know, my idols that were looked over for this position, and I needed a second to figure that out. And it was, again, I don't think I'll ever have a bigger surprise in my life, but something Seth said to me was, you know, your number was called, it's time for you to step up. And when he told me that, it sort of hit me, you know, that this is a heavy job, and, you know, this is a group of people that trusted me in this, and it's time to step up to the plate and be the captain of this team.
Thanks.
Thank you, Dan. Still on the Zoom calls, we'll go to Martin Davis. Hello, Martin. Hello, Martin.
Wait, can you hear me?
You're coming through, not loud and clear, but
can
try
you hear
again.
Me now?
Very good. Let's go, Martin.
Congratulations. Are you planning on assembling the leading candidates for the team for a few practice sessions to see who plays together best?
Well, I think I would love to bring the boys up for a practice round at Bethpage. Not so much to get to learn the course, more of, I just think from my personal experiences of the Ryder Cup, it was really great when the 12 guys were together for the first time. You know, there's so many meetings leading up to it where there's 20 or even 30 or, you know, 15, 18 guys, and you know that this isn't how the team's going to look. And when the team's finalized and you do things as a team, it's a different feel. And I would really love to do that with the team. I think that could be an important trip.
Thank you.
Thank you, Martin. Mark Canizero, good morning. Good afternoon.
Good morning, Keegan. Congrats. I had a question. You referred to Tiger a minute ago. Have you discussed with him, or do you plan to discuss with him potentially about being a vice captain? So obviously, that wouldn't take as much time off his plate as being the captain would have. And just as a follow, beyond Tiger, are you thinking about potentially some out-of-the-box assistant captains that maybe might not even be directly involved on the PGA Tour?
Definitely involved in the PGA Tour. I what's personally important to me is I would like to have the vice captains set up the future of the Ryder Cup to captain the USA. I think that's important. As it comes to Tiger, I have told him he can be as involved as he wants to be. We haven't talked about vice captains. I haven't talked to vice captains with really anybody. So, you know, we as players, we all look up to Tiger, and his opinion means a lot to us. And being in team rooms with Tiger, the public doesn't realize how important this is to him. It's everything. He lives and breathes this event. And I think it shows you how much he cares by turning this position down, because he didn't feel like he could put in what he needed to do with all of his responsibilities with what's going on with the tour. And I've been grateful. Before I accepted this job, I needed to talk to Tiger, and I wanted to hear from him. And we had a great conversation, and I certainly need his input.
Thanks, man. See you next week.
Thank you. Still on the Zoom calls, Jack Milko, please.
Hi, Keegan. First off, congratulations. My question for you is, you're such a fan of the Ryder Cup, obviously. Is there a captain in recent history who you admire and who you are going to look to possibly strategize next fall?
Well, I think the sort of obvious choices are I thought Paul Azinger really did a great job, and Steve Stricker recently with this kind of group of guys, he did a great job. And you know, I think they'd be two really different styles, but you know, one of the coolest things that's happened to me over the past 24 hours is I've gotten over 300 text messages, and my favorites have been from the old captains that have texted me, you know, guys like Ben Crenshaw and Tom Kite and Curtis Strange, and I haven't gotten back to them because I don't want to respond with just a thank you. And, you know, Ben Crenshaw was the captain at Brookline, and to think that they're texting me about being a captain is pretty incredible. And so these guys are all important, and I plan to call every U.S. captain and kind of pick their brain on what they thought they did right and what they thought they did wrong, whether they won or lost. So, you know, I was in rooms with Davis Love. He was amazing. And I think they all have a lot of insight, that even ones that won, I think, would have some insight on what they would have done differently.
Thank you.
David Rumsey, please, next up.
Keegan, I'm just wondering, how have you thought about how you're going to manage all the off-course responsibilities that come with being the captain over the next 15 months, balanced with your full-time PGA Tour schedule?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot. Like I said, I still feel like I'm in my prime. I still want to make this team. But I have John Wood, who's the manager of Team USA, which has never been a position for the U.S. Ryder Cup team. And he's been in a lot of team rooms. He knows all the guys and already has been an amazing help. I'm going to lean on my vice captains and also some of the older players I think, you know, Davis Love and Fred Couples and all these guys have been in so many team rooms. I hope that they'll be willing to help, you know, me. And I have a lot of people that are around to help me. And part of me thinks this is going to be a great distraction from, you know, playing on the tour and getting away from worrying about my personal what's going on week to week tournaments. I look forward to getting to know the younger guys more that, you know, just come out on tour. There's a great group of young players that I don't know that well that I'm looking forward to learning more about. And also talking to, you know, the studs of the American team, you know, Xander and Cantlay and Scotty Scheffler, Jordan and JT, all these guys, and their enthusiasm for this tournament is very, very high. And I look forward to leading those guys.
Thank you.
Jeff Shackelford, hello.
Hey, good morning or good afternoon. Thank you for doing this. Quick question for Keegan and then a question for John. Keegan, when did you get the phone call? How many days ago was it? And for John, do you mind just taking us through what the committee's thought was on naming Keegan and somebody who you had not interviewed, it sounds like?
Yeah, I got the call 2 weeks, two Sundays ago, right at about 7 or 8 o'clock at night. And so we didn't tell anybody for a long time. I hadn't told really anybody till the last couple of days.
Yeah, and the process, we had a couple of phone calls and talked about a variety of different attributes that we would want in our next captain. And as you start to check off the boxes and you have a PGA champion, you have somebody who went to school here, is familiar with the New York base, the fan base, is very familiar with Beth Page Black, is the son of a PGA member. There are a lot of boxes that Keegan checked off, and his enthusiasm for the Ryder Cup stood out above everything else, and we just felt like that was the aha moment. When Keegan's name was mentioned, it was all hands went up, and we were 100% behind it.
Thank you, Jeff.
Hi, guys. Ryan with the AP. Keegan, wondering what you've learned about captain's picks, how that'll shape your decisions on your picks, and wondering, you know, you said that your captains you kind of want close to the tour, wondering if that rules out Phil Mickelson, somebody that you've, you know, played well with, or if maybe he'll be in the picture of advice and such as you go through this.
Yeah, as it comes to captain's picks, you know, you need to first find out who's going to be on the team, you know, obviously, and then a lot of the captain's picks, I think, are important that they can be a dynamic player to partner with multiple guys, players that fit the course layout of Bethpage Black, players that can handle the pressure that they're going to be under, the extreme crowds. And, you know, we're going to look into analytics and how they stack up in this. As it comes to Phil, I still have a great relationship with Phil. I don't think he's interested in being a vice captain. And to be honest with you, he's a captain someday, I think. But I haven't spoken to Phil. I don't want to speak for him at all. But I think he's pretty busy with what he's doing. And I have nothing but great things to say about Phil and our memories together and what we did at the Ryder Cup is really my fondest memories in the game.
Thank you. And John, if I can ask one more here. Just wondering if there's the PGA is looking at maybe a break from captains being vice captains first, or kind of the process of believing that Keegan, you know, is able to do this without first being a vice captain.
No, I don't think that, you know, we didn't really discuss that kind of procedure and whether we wanted to move away from a captain having a vice captain's position prior. We were really trying to find the best person to lead Team USA to a victory. And it very simply came down to one person, and that was Keegan. Keegan, as I said, checked a lot of the boxes, and his passion for the game, his passion for the Ryder Cup is evident, and just him being from around this area and how the people around here, all the text messages that we've received about Keegan has been absolutely outstanding. The amount of support that he's received from the community and from New York City is fabulous. And I think that all went into the decision. And we picked the best person that we knew to pick and put everything else aside.
On a Zoom call, real quick, Adam Shupak. Adam, are you with us?
Yes, guys. Keegan, how do you plan to handle the LIV players? Will you be going to events to check those out?
I'm going to have the 12 best players on the team. I don't care where they play. So we have a mission to win this tournament. I'm not worried about the LIV stuff. I want the best players on the team. I by the time we get to Bethpage in 2025, we have no clue how the layout of the golf world is going to be. As it comes to going to live events, if there's guys that are on the fringe, I'm willing to do that. I've only been the captain for 2 weeks, and we haven't really even gotten the real points started, which start next year. So I'll have to wait and see how everything shakes out. And my biggest concern is having the best players on the team.
You gonna wear a Yankees or a Giants hat at all?
The interesting thing about me is, you know, I did grow up in New England, and I love Boston sports, but I also love New York. Everything about New York is special to me. Coming to school here was a big undertaking from a kid that grew up in Vermont, and living in Queens and being a New Yorker really for 4 years was some of the best times of my life. And I go around this city and I tell my wife, I just love it here. I love the energy. There's something in the streets of New York. And so I have very, very fond feelings of New York. Not so much the sports teams, but I have nothing but love for New York, and I always have. And, you know, some of my best memories have happened here. And to be honest with you, when I've played at Bethpage, it's the most support I've gotten, I get in the entire world. So it's pretty cool.
Thank you.
We're going to come back to NASDAQ, and it looks like we got a couple of questions in the back over here. Yeah.
Congratulations, Keegan. You weren't chosen for Rome. How do you envision telling someone who's on the bubble like yourself that they're not going to be going to Bethpage? And I have a follow-up.
I think that I will just be totally upfront with them and just say I'm going in another direction. And, you know, I've been on the end of three of these calls where I figured I was about the last guy out. So I've been on the other end of I got picked at Glen Eagles, and that was special. But I've also been on the end of these multiple times. So, you know, the way I like it is just the facts, and I won't. It won't be any fluff in it. I think that as a player, I always respected just like we're going another direction. And I think it's going to be difficult. Something that I never thought. You know, you never think that you're going to have to make those calls, but inevitably that's coming. So I'll have to, again, that's another thing I'll have to ask other captains about as well.
Just one other question. On the Bethpage setup, the captains always play an instrumental role. Europeans have always favored, you know, basically high rough, slower greens, maybe not as long. Bethpage has been set up for U.S. Open, PGA championships. How do you envision, even though it's early on, the setup for Bethpage in terms of how you want to see it play out for something like a Ryder Cup match?
Yeah, so we're going out to Bethpage tomorrow to check out the course. I haven't put much thought into, you know, how we're going to go about that. I think that, you know, at the end of the day, we're still playing golf, and no matter what the setup is, there's going to be teams playing against each other, and I'm not too concerned about how the course is set up. I think that we got 24 world-class players. And you could go play, you know, a perfectly manicured course, and something that's not is still playing the Ryder Cup. So I'm not completely concerned about that, but something that we'll look into.
Is another question back here, Greg? Seeing no off, we do have a question over here. Yes, Alan, go ahead.
One for John. Could you take us specifically through the timeline from when Tiger told you he was not going to take the job, and you had presumably just a matter of a couple of weeks? Like, what was that decision-making process like from the moment that you knew it wasn't going to be Tiger to figuring out to sort of getting where we are today?
Well, I mean, we didn't have a timeline on it per se. We knew we wanted to announce a Ryder Cup captain before the 1 year to go event, and we just wanted to get together with the Ryder Cup committee. You have to balance the schedules of the players and of the PGA of America representatives to try to get on a call together to try to discuss it. So the first opportunity that we had to organize a call, we did. And we had a nice conversation about potential captains. And without any really timeline set, we came to a pretty quick decision. And this came about very rapidly to get this done in 2 weeks.
Did Keegan's name surface in that first conversation? And if so, who was sort of lobbying hardest for him?
There was no lobbying. When Keegan's name was mentioned, it was a slam dunk.
But do you recall who mentioned Keegan's name first?
I don't recall. We had a list, and we're kind of bouncing through the list, and we were all looking down the list, and Keegan's name kind of jumped out, and it was, as soon as it was mentioned, Keegan Bradley, it was, yeah, absolutely, 100%.
And this would have been like 3 or 4 weeks ago? Something.
It was about 2.5 weeks ago. We didn't sit on it very long after we made the decision. We decided that we needed to let Keegan know, and so we got on a call with Keegan that Sunday. The conversation, I believe, was on a Wednesday.
Alan, we'll invite you to join the next PGA of America Ryder Cup committee call when we pick a captain. It sounds like you're really interested in this right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that's going to do it for our news conference today. We would ask that you swiftly all move back to the reception area so we can knock out some live interviews up here. Media in the room, if you could also meet us back there. We're going to bring Keegan back there for a quick media scrum, and we're going to bring him back here to knock off some interviews. So one more time for Keegan Bradley.